You may be seated. Turn with me this morning for the reading and preaching of the Word of God to Matthew chapter 1. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you, Sarah Rose, for sharing the ability God's given to you with us. I'm 75 years old, have a doctor's degree in ministry. I cannot read a note, much less play one. But I'm thankful that you can, and that the Lord has blessed us through you this morning. Matthew chapter 1, reminding us this is indeed the Word of God. It is infallible, inerrant, inspired by Him. It is, thus saith the Lord. And so we should listen to what He has to say to us this morning. We'll pick it up at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. To Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac Jacob, and to Jacob Judah and his brothers. And to Judah were born Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And to Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron Ram. And to Ram was born Amminadab, and to Amminadab Nahshon. And to Nahshon, Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab, and to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth, and to Obed Jesse, and to Jesse was born David the king. And to David was born Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And to Solomon was born Rehoboam, and to Rehoboam Abijah, and to Abijah Asa, and to Asa was born Jehoshaphat, and to Jehoshaphat, Joram, and to Joram, Uzziah, and to Uzziah was born Jotham, and to Jotham, Ahaz, and to Ahaz, Hezekiah, and to Hezekiah was born Manasseh, and to Manasseh, Amon, and to Amon, Josiah, and to Josiah were born Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, to Jeconiah was born Shealtiel, and to Shealtiel, Zerubbabel, and to Zerubbabel was born Abiud, and to Abiud, Eliakim, and to Eliakim, Azor, and to Azor was born Zadok, and to Zadok, Akim, and to Akim, Eliud, to Eliud was born Eleazar, and to Eleazar, Mathan, and to Mathan, Jacob, and to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, that it might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and they called his name Jesus. Well, the title of the sermon this morning is simply this, God prepares Joseph. We heard last Sunday how God prepared Mary. We saw that from Heard that from Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, how God sent the angel Gabriel to interact and speak to and talk with Mary and explain to her what the Lord's will and plan for her was, that she would conceive even as a virgin and would give birth to the Son of God even while still being a virgin. Her immediate reaction was, how can this be? Because that's my condition. And she expressed her understanding, not being naive, of how women conceive and give birth to children. But the thing that convinced her was when Gabriel then said to her, nothing is impossible with God. And it was at that point that she said, be it unto me as you have said. And so she was willing, understanding the Lord's message to her through the angel Gabriel and what God was going to work in her life and through her life. She was willing to gladly submit to the will of God and to do his will as it had been spoken to her. Well, we come now to Joseph and how God prepared him. But before we get to that, I want to make a few comments about the genealogy of Jesus. Now, first of all, let's go back to the book of Genesis. I have often desired to preach a sermon starting in Genesis and going all the way through to the book of Revelation. I've never been able to do that in depth, but today we're going to kind of get a broad brush approach from Genesis through and into the book of Revelation. Well, in Genesis chapter 3, verse number, let's see, what is it? Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. This is in the context of the fall of Adam and Eve into sin and what God, the Lord God, he speaks to the serpent, first of all, and this is in the context of what he says to the serpent. And in verse 15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And that is a reference, the seed there is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be bruised on the heel through his life and sacrificial death by suffering on the cross, etc. But Christ would bruise the serpent on the head and give a death blow to him. So that's the first reference other than let us create in our own image concerning the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and identifying his person. Now let's go to Genesis, flip over to verse chapter number 17, verses 1 and following. And so here we read when Abram, his name hadn't changed yet, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk with me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, which is the plural. For I will make you a father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants. Well, let me just stop there and clarify for a moment. I use the New American Standard Translation. I don't know what translation you use. But the word there that's translated in the New American Standard, descendants, plural, the Hebrew word literally is translated seed, singular, S-E-E-D, just like the word seed, the woman's seed in Genesis 3:15. But after your descendants or your seed after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you, and I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan and the everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So this is where we begin to learn about what we theologians call covenant theology. God made a covenant with Abraham to save a people unto himself. That was first mentioned in Genesis 3:15. It's further elaborated on in Genesis 17. Now, turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of Galatians, for we get more clarification on this word seed in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 3. Verses 6 and following. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith that are sons of Abraham. And so, again, we read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and we're told that the promise God made to Abraham to save a multitude unto himself would be saved, as we know Ephesians says, by grace through faith. Everyone who has saving faith is a descendant of Abraham who believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We'll go over to verse 15. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. So God is consistent in his revealing to us the seed mentioned in Genesis 3:15 and how that carries through the scriptures, and God clarifies it for us that seed is Christ. And so all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all who exercise saving faith in him, believing in who he is, how he came, his life, death, shed blood, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins, are indeed the people of God, because God covenanted with Abraham that it would be that way. Now, turn with me quickly to the book of Revelation, this time to Revelation chapter number 7. And while we're turning there, I would just remind us that this is the very reason why the Lord Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission to his disciples prior to his ascension into heaven. And we all remember what he said to them. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, his great commission is for us to go into all the world, because he has a people that he covenanted with Abraham to save in every tongue and tribe and nation on the face of the earth. We read about that in Revelation chapter 7. Hope you're there. Pick it up at verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count. So people who accuse us, who believe in covenant theology, of being a little narrow-minded and thinking God's just going to save a small group, you know, that's not true. Here he says, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count. Now look at where they're from. From every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with robes and palm branches were in their hands, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. That day will come. Now, it is true, and I have to say it just to bring it into biblical perspective. God did not covenant with Abraham to save everybody. But those that he did covenant to save is a vast number of people that no one can count. A lot of folks. And since it's a gift of God, just like gifts that we give, we don't, at least I don't give gifts to everybody at Christmas, but I do select and give gifts to some. But the person giving the gift has the right and authority to decide who gets the gift and what it will be. And so it is with Almighty God. He is the one who gives the gift of eternal life in Christ. And it's up to him. It's his call. It's his decision as to who he blesses to give that to. And so those of us who have received it should be humbled by that and thankful for that. Well, let's go back now quickly to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And so the genealogy. This genealogy, 42 generations from Abraham all the way through Joseph, through Joseph, these 42 generations. At least one of the things, God's saying a lot of things to us through this, and we covered a lot of this in the Sunday school class just a few weeks ago. But one of the things that he is saying to us is, my plan with Abraham, I never deserted. I was working that salvation in the seed, my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. I didn't bring it to pass all at once. Boy, we Americans now, we're so hooked on the immediate. We want it fast, right now. Don't make me wait 10 years or 100 years, much less 42 generations. That's a long time. And when we get, Lord willing, we will next Sunday, Luke chapter 2, when the time had come, when the time was right, see, it hadn't been right yet, not through these 42 generations, but it's just around the corner. But God was at work. God was at work, even through the wayward, even through the sinful, even through the prostitutes, even through those who were not Israelites. Because nothing or no one would thwart his purpose to redeem and save his people. So he's working, been working, been working, been working. And so now we get to verse 18, and here's how he prepares Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. Now, one of the things I'm going to ask when I get to heaven is, how did Joseph find out? See, the scriptures don't tell us. But I can tell you this, and you probably know it firsthand. When there is a young woman who is pregnant out of wedlock, that news travels pretty fast. I mean, it'll run through like a hurricane. And I don't know who told Joseph. I don't know how he found out. If we go back to Luke chapter 1, we see that Mary when she went to visit Elizabeth, she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Now, I don't know if Joseph came over during that time or not. He may have, and Mary may have been the one that told him. I don't know who told him, but somehow he found out. And his immediate reaction, put it in redneck country boy southern terms, it ain't mine. Okay? That was his reaction. They had not come together. They were betrothed, but she was found to be with child. Joseph was a righteous man. He didn't want to disgrace her because he loved her. He cared deeply for her. He was looking forward to a good marriage and a long-lasting one, Lord willing. But he just could not accept that she was pregnant and that it wasn't his. At this point, he didn't know any better. I mean, he would have jumped to the same conclusion any of us would have. And I would imagine there's many a man that has said those words, it ain't mine. Well, thank God that's not the end of the story. So when he had considered putting her away secretly, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now the angel, if you'll remember, appeared to Mary and spoke to her. They carried on a conversation. God had a different way of preparing Joseph. He didn't send the angel to appear and to carry on a conversation with him, but sent the angel in a dream to communicate the will of God to him. And since he was a righteous man and a man of God, a man of faith, he was teachable. Now, that's a hard thing for some of us men, don't you think? He was willing to be corrected. Sometimes that's a little bit difficult for us. But God worked. He appeared to Joseph in a dream, and here's what he said to him. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly what Joseph did at that point, but I can assure you, had that been me and in that dream, and that had been said, and I was convinced of its truth, I would have sat straight up in that bed and said, glory, hallelujah. She hadn't been unfaithful. So he was willing to accept what God said to him through the angel. And the angel went on and told him, verse 21 and following, and she will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins, just like God covenanted with Abraham and promised Abraham that it would be. He will do it. His people won't do it. He, Christ, will do it. It is he who will save his people from their sins. That's what's so humbling about our salvation. The only thing we do is receive it gladly. God the Holy Spirit regenerates our hearts, and that comes before we acknowledge and confess and repent and believe. But when he regenerates our hearts, we do acknowledge and confess and repent of our sins and turn to Christ and believe in him and trust him alone for our salvation. That's another way we know that we're saved. Because it's not something we've done. Something God has done. It is he who will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. And he quotes Isaiah Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. That's what verse 23 is, a quote directly from Isaiah 7, 14. You see, God again working after generation, through generation, after generation, after generation. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And so now Joseph arose from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. See, this again is why the Lord was conceived and the Lord was born of a virgin Mary. And this is what we celebrate. We're celebrating God with us to save us. We don't stop at just celebrating with the birth, but it's what is represented in the birth and what comes after the birth when he grows and develops and matures and offers himself as the all-sufficient sacrifice by his death on the cross. We're celebrating salvation, God saving us who are his people in Christ Jesus, just like he promised. And so just like God prepared Mary, he had to prepare Joseph in order to bring to pass his will for all of us who are his people, the multitude that no one can count. And one day we will all be before the throne shouting salvation to our God and to the Lamb. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy, the angel in the dream to Joseph, his willingness to receive the message, to rejoice in it, and to live his life in light of it. And Father, how we thank you for working so great a salvation on behalf of all of us who are your people, regardless of denominational affiliation or no affiliation. We know it's not the denomination or church that saves us, but Lord, it's you who save your people from our sins. And so we rejoice and we give you thanks. And we continue to celebrate that, and we'll celebrate that even throughout eternity. We know, Lord, that there are many yet who are not saved, who are yours, who need to come to know you as Savior and Lord, even as we do. And in this next hymn, Lord, that we sing, impress that upon our hearts. That those of us who are your chosen, blood-bought sons and daughters in Christ Jesus ought to be spreading that good news far and wide, sharing it with others. That by your grace and calling, the work of your Spirit, might cause others to be born again even as you have us. And continue to gather in your people unto yourself until the last one is in the fold and you tell your son, now's the time for you to go back down there again, and we're going to bring history to its conclusion, and we're going to have a wonderful eternity with all of those that we saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Closing hymn 224 in the Trinity hymnal, Go Tell It On.